Streaming live, KSGF.com, also the KSGF app. I do recommend you download that in the marketplace. It is 104.1 Nick Reed. That way, no matter where you are in the world, you can listen to the station and catch up on past episodes of this show, should you miss any of them, in the on-demand section and segments such as Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, making it possible for a very, very long time now. In fact, they've been partners with the station longer than I've been here, and I'll be here 12 years in April. So they have been bringing you great authors for a very long time. We've got Rebecca Koffler. The book is Putin's Playbook, Russia's Secret Plan to Defeat America. Rebecca's Russian-born U.S. intelligence expert, and she's worked with everyone from DIA to CIA, White House, NATO. Led red teams during war games, briefed the Pentagon, and is just one of the absolute top experts when it comes to Russia, former Soviet Union. I want to thank you so much for being here with us this morning. And before we get into some of the specifics of Putin and how Putin is Putin, what makes Putin the way he is, and why the world should really concern ourselves with him, you write a little bit in your book about being Soviet born and raised and now here in the United States, and this shift of socialism that is occurring, and how you find yourself telling your children some of the things that your mother used to tell you while living in the Soviet Union. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, of course. Good morning, Nick. Pleasure to be here. I am completely stunned at the monumental shift leftward in America, where I see the very same processes happening in the country, such as the suppression of free speech. You know, I can't, just like when I was growing up, my mom getting out of the door, she would tell me and my sister three things. Do not believe everything that your teacher teaches you. Mm-hmm. Do not believe everything that you hear on TV and on the radio. And finally, most importantly, do not share your family's views with other people. Well, I find myself today, you know, looking around before I share some of my views. You know, I'm a conservative. I'm a conservative because socialism doesn't work, and I don't support it. I support freedom and capitalism. And unfortunately, right now, I am very, very concerned, you know, for my children and for the rest of America, because after America, there's nowhere to go. It's the best country in the world.
It's got to be heartbreaking for you. I know it is for me, but I think about folks who actually lived and understand the dangers of socialism, and to come to the country that has been the place that people have fled socialist countries, risked their lives in order to get away from it and to get to a free country, and then to see this country being led particularly by a political party and a media that's trying to push us to that nightmare that so many people fled in order to get here.
Exactly, and what's especially disturbing, Nate, is that there's almost the collusion between the government and the media, because the media has been serving here as the mouthpiece for the party line. This is exactly what was happening in the Soviet Union. We had Pravda, we had Vestia, we had, you know, TASS, Interfax, were basically there was only one narrative. And that's what I see here today. And people can no longer, you know, receive straightforward news. And Americans don't trust news anymore. So people like myself, we need a platform, you know, because we hear from all kinds of people about pushing socialism, but they actually never lived under socialism. They don't know what that is. It's not about all the free stuff. It's about government control, because when everything is free, nothing is available. And I've written about, you know, a few op-eds on that. The reason it's not available is because socialism simply does not produce enough for everyone, because there's no motivation to create anything. When you're not rewarded, you don't create. There's no reason to create.
I think a lot of folks here in the United States, and honestly probably worldwide, whenever we look at history or even modern affairs and we see leaders that that we deem sort of the bad guys, and we simplify it. We just break it down. They're good guys, they're bad guys. And we fail to recognize that often it can be much more than that. There's a driving force. I mean, we are all creations of our upbringing, of our, you know, there's nature, there's nurture. And so I think a lot of people, they just write Putin off. They think, he's the leader of another country. I mean, we don't really need to worry about him too much. What drives him? I mean, is he a guy who, I'm the leader of a country, and so I've just got to make sure we look powerful, or is there something deeper there?
Absolutely, there's something much, much deeper, Nick, and alarmingly, not very many people, including in our national security apparatus, understand all of the motivations and all of the drivers. He's not simply the bad guy. You know, he's a guy who is determined to reverse the outcome of Russia's loss of the Cold War, or the Soviet Union, rather. You know, the Soviet Union collapsed, and Putin believes that it was the biggest catastrophe in terms of geopolitics, because Russia has lost what they call its strategic security buffer. The former Soviet states, Ukraine, Georgia, the Baltics, you know, all of the stans. And so Putin and his national security apparatus, they feel vulnerable and they perceive NATO as a threat. In fact, they have declared it in their military doctrine, and therefore, on Putin's orders, a strategy was developed to destabilize the West, including the United States. And that's why we see disturbing cyber attacks on America. We see, you know, interference in U.S. elections, such as in 2016, 2018, 2020, not for the reasons that the intelligence community has concluded. You know, it wasn't because Putin wanted to support Trump and harm Ms. Hillary Clinton. It was to sow disorder and foment social unrest. So underestimating Putin would be a bad idea. We need to really understand what goes on and develop a counter strategy. And unfortunately, this administration hasn't done anything in terms of responding to cyber attacks or really anything else.
I want to touch on the election deal and the Russian collusion that we heard so much about. And you being an expert in this, I'm curious on your thoughts and what we do know, despite what many like to say in our media, is that it was all just about causing disruption. And I see how the Democrat Party dealt with and positioned the Russian involvement as trying to rig the election. And we spent 4 years of investigations, 4 years of a lot of misinformation being put out there. And in my mind, I think Putin must have almost thought this, they could not be helping me out any better. Like, my goal is to, you know, do some damage, but one of these political parties, they are doing everything beyond my dreams. Is that an accurate view of it?
You're spot on. What happened back in 2016 was the American people were hit by a double whammy. First, they were hit with a covert influence operation that was run on the United States by Putin's intelligence services. So they interfered in the election by disrupting, you know, waging cyber attacks and disinformation. Remember, they penetrated the servers of the DNC and released information that was damaging to Mrs. Clinton. because they knew this was going to really agitate the people and sow discord. Then what happened was the corrupt intelligence officials, in the FBI, the DIA, the DNI and the FBI, they ran with the Russian disinformation, pushing the sealed dossier, which was served, you know, by cutouts of Soviet intelligence. And so there was no collusion. You know, it's science fiction. And we know this, you know, from Mueller himself, right? And right now all of this new information is coming out, information that has been declassified, but really reveals that the American intelligence and law enforcement at the upper echelons was effectively lying to the American people. At the same time, when behind the closed doors during classified sessions, they were admitting that they had zero evidence of collusion, but they would go on national TV and spread Soviet-style disinformation, lying to the American people, and it's disturbing that none of them have been held accountable for that.
It must have been a fascinating and heartbreaking thing for you to watch. I mean, somebody who grew up in the Soviet Union, and I always thought there was irony here, that the very people who were claiming we're going to have our entire country destroyed because of Russia, yet they were the ones that were using these Soviet tactics. They were doing what it is that they told us we should be afraid of from a foreign country.
Absolutely. They were doing Putin's bidding. They were using the same tactics that KGB used. And it is very disturbing. And there's a lot really going on, you know, Nick, that people don't know. Goes on in the intelligence community. There are wonderful, honorable people, you know, the workaby types. And there are corrupt officials who target offices, and we know this, right? The what happened with Carter Page, he was actually serving our country, risking his own life by providing intelligence. He was a CIA asset, right? And CIA basically threw him under the bus. The law enforcement threw him under the bus. The false application to the secret FISA court was submitted, and Carter Page, a U.S. citizen, was surveyed 24/7 in order for these people to get closer to former President Trump to unseat the democratically elect president. You know, that's the third world country type of, you know, coup, if you will.
Right.
And we cannot have this happen here in America. That's not why millions and millions of people immigrate to the United States. They flock, you know, towards this country as the beacon of freedom and justice, you know, and we can't turn it into USSR 2.0.
We're talking with our author of the week, Rebecca Koffler, Putin's Playbook, Russia's Secret Plan to Defeat America. And I wanted to ask you one final question and then any final thoughts. And this book, it was actually released a few months back, but I wanted to talk with you because there are a lot of current events going on. And of course, several years ago with the Crimean Peninsula, and now we've got this, you know, these buildup of troops on the border of Ukraine. What do you think is going to happen? What should the Biden administration do? And do you think that they'll do it?
So it's very difficult right now to advise anything to President Biden, because there have been so many missed opportunities, both during his administration and during the Obama administration, because we had information, you know, about Putin's intentions, and Putin didn't really keep it a secret. You know, all of his strategic intentions were codified in what Russia calls strategic planning documents, right, military doctrine, national security strategy. And yet, when we were providing indications and warnings to the administration, President Obama was so determined to do a reset with Russia and dismissed, you know, a lot of warnings. In the meantime, the Biden administration has withdrawn from Afghanistan in a completely shameful manner, leaving a lot of weaponry that was out there for grabs by the Russians and the Chinese. There has been no response to Russian cyber attacks for 20 years. So the Russians learned from this, you know, that they pretty much can do anything. And also the Pentagon is more focused right now on spreading the Marxist ideologies, such as the critical race theory, amongst its military officer corps, rather than teaching them how to win battles. And so Putin sees all this, and he is taking the window of opportunity because of the perceived weakness of this administration to destabilize, you know, Ukraine and former Soviet states and reintegrate them into the Russian sphere of influence, right? So I do not rule out the possibility of Putin during the Biden administration's term to take an offensive kinetic offensive operation against Ukraine all the way to annexing the eastern part of Ukraine, just like he did with Crimea, because this area is very strategic for the Russians, and they want to make sure that they keep NATO out of that area.
Rebecca Koffler, Putin's Playbook, Russia's Secret Plan to Defeat America. Thank you so, so very much for being with us this morning. And I hope you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas to you, Nick, and to your audience. I'm honored to be here. Happy New Year. Take care.
All right, you too. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I am Nick Reed. Of course, that interview sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, where you can pick up this and other past Author of the Week books.